want to thank you guys for listening, for watching the Couple Matters podcast. My name is Rodney, and this is
Olanda.
And yes, we are a couple. We've been married 25 years, and we wanted to share our journey through marriage, through peaks, through valleys, everything to encourage you in your walk with relationships. Today, we have a very special guest with us, and she'll be back with us. She just had to jump off for a second. But she is a financial expert, and she gives a lot of advice. She has a company, which is Finance Reform, right? Finance Reform is her company.
Financial literacy coach.
Financial literacy coach. And Crystal Hines is her name, and she'll be right back in. I think did she join back? No, not yet. She'll be right back in, and we will be talking money. Probably we might have two sessions coming up where we're going to sit down and really talk about some things that we all should be implementing in our daily walk and how we handle our money. Because I don't know about you, but I want to have a very good relationship with money. I don't want to feel like money, when you talk about money, it gives you stress. Hey, thanks. I appreciate that love. But I want to make sure that when you talk about money, something that's peace, because you guys are on the same page, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're single. We all need to learn how to handle our money,
right,
and make our money work for us, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so one of my big things is always to have my money, making money while I'm sleeping. That's one of the biggest goals I have, is that I'm making money while I'm sleeping.
We all need to have that goal, especially finding that it was very difficult to get through this pandemic and still recovering. Many people are recovering. Many businesses did not survive.
Yes.
As a result of not having a reserve. And so just really important to have a reserve, not to spend all the time not being a consumer all the time, but becoming owners, whether that is through the stock market, yeah, or whatever the case may be. But even just sitting down and talking with your mate about the importance of saving, having an emergency fund, just all of the important things in order to be able to get ahead and to be financially fit so that you can have financial freedom.
Yes.
And so basically, yes, this topic is always a relevant topic, is always very helpful. And for some reason, some of us, I know I have, sometimes we kind of like bury our head in the sand, don't really want to face the music, you know, about finances, about budgeting.
About that dreaded word credit that we all fear.
Yeah. And even just like holding yourself accountable by, yeah, just writing down, how much did you spend?
Yes.
Just like writing down, like, how much did you spend using your debit card? What were you spending money on? Mm-hmm. And so pretty much, you know, we could go to the grocery store, and if we don't have a budget, we can end up spending $300. And then, you know, we wondering like where this extra money was going to end up being, and it's gone. So it's really important.
Well, I think our special guest is back, and she is here. So we did an intro of you, Crystal. So, but now that you are back here live and in living color, we're going to just introduce you once again. We want to thank. Well, I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
My and then out. I'm not sure what is going on today.
Okay. Well, we can hear you. We can hear you a little bit. We'll try to work with it. If it gets too bad, then we'll always, like, you know, redo it or something. But let's try to get it going. How you feel like that? You okay with that?
I'm okay with that, if you guys, okay, can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you. We might just like pause for a second to make sure we can hear you whenever we ask something. But you are a financial literacy coach. You have a company entitled Finance Reformed. You know, we're your clients too. We believe in what you're doing. And so we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to really share this platform, because many people need to understand financial literacy and not be afraid of that word money, to embrace money. So, yes, can you share with us your journey as far as what brought you to the point of feeling like, hey, I need to address this. I need to become a coach. I need to take this.
Yes. Yeah, so Thank you for the introduction. I am Chris. I'm Chris Cassato on social media. And I do teach financial literacy. This is a passion of mine only because, unfortunately, a lot of us, and when I say us, I mean people of color, we have been uninformed. And you started off with saying that a lot of people are scared of credit, the word credit. And yeah. That's definitely something that we should never be afraid of. There's power in credit and having good credit, and so many tools we can utilize once we have that great credit. So we should never, ever be afraid of the word credit. It's the most powerful thing out there.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and ask my first question, you know. So you ready to share a little bit of your journey too? Because, you know, inquiring minds, I'm like, I love your journey. You don't have to go too deep into it, but just, you know, give us a little flyover at about 5,000 feet of what we would see.
Oh, no, I'm not afraid of my journey. Like, I love testimony because without my test, I wouldn't have a testimony. So I don't shy from it at all. And it was something, unfortunately, that I had to go through to learn. I wasn't taught about. I come from a Caribbean family, and they don't really talk about credit. They talk about susus. In America, they call it a pots or something like that. I don't know what they call it, but yeah, they team up to put a couple dollars in a pot once every so often, and then they do whatever they have to do to get their house, their dream house, their dream car, or whatever off of that susu. But again, you're using your own money. And it's important for us to know that our own money should stay with us. We need to benefit off the bank's money. And the reason why, to answer your question, because I did deviate a little, but to answer your question, the reason why I am so passionate about financial literacy is because I fell on very hard times. My husband and I fell on extremely hard times. And I turned to food stamps because that's what I needed. I needed help. And unfortunately, I didn't include my husband, and I got in trouble for that because I lied. I didn't include him. I was married. So I get in some trouble for that. And had I known about financial literacy, I wouldn't need to go the food stamp route. I would have been focused on fixing my credit, making sure my score was where it needed to be. And then I would be able to leverage my credit to get whatever the hell I want. Instead of depending on the government. And so once I fell into this network that I'm a part of, I learned tricks and trades on how to utilize the bank's money and how to leverage my credit. So if I do fall on hard times again, you better believe I'm using these credit cards.
Of course, I love what you said too about using the bank's money. I used to tell my kids when they were younger, I was like, other people's money spends better than yours. So, correct. And now I fully understand that now. I was like, yeah, I'd rather spend the bank's money than mine.
Right. And then a lot of people don't realize, I saw someone in the comments mention Dave Ramsey or someone like that. Yeah. There are people who are against credit cards, and that's okay. It might not be for everyone, but for me, the banks, there is, if we're going to be real honest here, there is no such thing as money, right? Right, exactly. So if I'm going to utilize the bank, I'm going to utilize their paper because once my paper is done, I have nothing else. Once the bank's paper is never done because they're going to continue to print it out no matter what. You guys looking, am I frozen again?
No, you're good. You're good.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to utilize it. And everything I do with a credit card, certain cards, I don't want to make it seem like every card is great. You have to be intentional about every single card you get. So certain cards, they give you travel. They give you mileage. Some cards give you gas. Some cards give you groceries, give you points on groceries, and you can turn those points into cash. Oh, wow. I don't know how deep you guys want me to go or how surface you want me to be, but it's up to you guys.
Well, you know what? We trust you're going to give good advice. So however you feel led as you're talking, you know, I'll flow right with you. Falonda will too. She has some questions. She has some questions she prepared.
So let me say this. I just
Here's her question, probably.
All right. So I just want to say a couple things. So I know that you're going to share some things with us, but you can't share everything because it's like so much that.
Well, people have to become your client in order to get some of this information.
Right. And they have to basically, you know what? Some people will need to be able to follow you and gain some insight. So for everybody that's on this live, I would recommend that you go ahead and follow her so that you can get some valuable advice. Yeah. And then I see that there was a question that said, would you prefer debit or credit cards? And so I know that she will be able to expand on that. But just to reiterate, she did indicate that it's really about how are you as a person? Are you disciplined in order to use certain credit cards? Are you going to pay things off or are you going to run it up and then you're having to pay a whole lot of interest? And so you have to sort of take those things in consideration. But also what she was saying is that there are some credit cards where if you pay off your monthly expenses that you have to pay every month, and you get so many points to go towards air travel or for gas or for various things, then you want to maximize cards that's going to end up giving you something in return. And so it has to be a purpose. And so I would just say, would you say, depending upon what your purpose is and what is being offered through a debit card versus a credit card, what would you say?
First, I'm going to say, everybody on this live, I need you to share this live with at least 10 people. That's how you guys can help me. And definitely follow me on Finance Reform. But information, me giving information, as long as you guys implement this information I'm giving you, I don't mind sharing. That's how we grow as a community. So share this live and then, of course, follow me. To answer this question, I would prefer... See, it's turning. You know what? I might have to go on my other phone because I don't know why this one. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Maybe it's just on my end.
If you feel like you need to pause or anything, just let us know. And, you know, we can pause for a second and let you switch to another phone or whatever. And we'll keep talking until you come back. Either way, just let us know.
Okay, I am going to hop off. I'm going to go on my other phone. It's better because it keeps circling. So okay. I feel like there's a delay.
No problem. No problem. We will be right here. So we go pause for this part. We're going to stay live and then Crystal will be right back. So we'll keep going.
Don't leave, you guys. I'll be right back.
Okay. So, again, we just want to thank everybody that has joined us for Couples Matters. I'm Falonda Collins, and this is Rod Collins. And
I'm sorry, I'll drink this.
We are married, and we have been married for 20-plus years, we're going to say that. And basically, we think that it's very important for us to all be financially literate and that we are taking the necessary steps in order to be financially fit. And we saw that a few people had a few questions with regards to a credit card. So when Crystal comes back into our live, then she will give you some, she'll elaborate and give you some additional information with regards to credit cards. And basically, again, depending on what your purpose is for getting a particular credit card and what certain credit cards offer. So just as an example, I know someone that I used to work with, he would travel every single year for free. And I'm talking about to places like Egypt, to Italy, and different places like that. And the way that he was able to do that is because he used a credit card to pay his daughter's tuition on a monthly basis, and he paid it off immediately when the bill came. And then he also paid any household expenses, whether it was lights, gas, water, any utilities, or any other responsibilities that he ended up having. He would use the credit card to pay those things, and then he would then in turn pay those things off Just like he would have had to pay them anyway, except he just used the credit card to pay for those things in order to get points so that those points could build up and then he could then in turn be rewarded to be able to use those points to travel. And so, as she was saying earlier, sometimes you have credit cards that will allow you to gain travel or to get gas or to do a variety of other things. So, okay, so Crystal is back. And so I'm going to, again, because she's the financial literacy expert, she will go back over and answer a couple questions. So, again, like someone was saying, should I get a debit card or a credit card? And then I'll look into the chat and see what other questions ended up being there.
Okay, this is definitely better. So see, AT&T is better than T-Mobile.
There it is.
Just joking, guys. So absolutely, I would say credit card. I'm going to tell you guys credit card. Your debit card doesn't give you any rewards. Some of them do. But with your debit card, you're using your money. And I want to stress the importance of using the bank's money, okay? Our money should be used for what we want it for to be used for. If we fall on hard times, we have cash. We have our own money in reserve. Other than that, we should be using the bank's money for everything. Everything we want out of life. We can rotate that money. We can rotate that debt that people like to say. But we should always leverage the bank's money. So my answer is credit cards, 100%.
All right. So since credit cards are definitely the answer, how would somebody obtain the credit cards that give those type of benefits? What steps? Because, you know, I would think you would need to have a pretty high score to get some of those benefits from a card like that.
That's another misconception that people think score matter. Mm-hmm. It's not about your score. It's about your data points. And we should also always make sure that our data points are lined correctly. And when I say data points, I'm talking about your personal information, the amount of inquiries you have on your report, if you have any derogatory marks, if you have late payments or your utilization. If your utilization is below 30%, I like to have my clients have theirs below 10%. I don't like any inquiries, but if you have two, that's okay. You know, so all of those things play a part. You can have an 800 score and get denied. You can have a 620 and get approved. It all varies depending on what your data points are. So stop looking at the numbers. A number doesn't mean, to some, it might mean the world, but your number isn't what's going to determine if the bank is going to give you your card or not.
Okay. All right.
Someone was asking, should you have more than one?
Yeah. I like, this is going to sound crazy. And everything I say just might sound crazy to you guys because we're brainwashed to think that credit cards are bad. They put you in debt. They're horrible. You should stay away from them. That's what we're taught from the time we are children. But that is such a misconception. You should have at least 15 to 20 cards.
Wow. Oh, wow.
But see, everyone has the same reaction, but you have to know how to manage it. You're not having these cards just to go on shopping sprees every week or to do nonsense with. You really have to utilize the bank's money. You use the cards, you pay them back. Some of them you just use for gas. Some of them you just use if you're going out to eat on Friday. You use 10% of the cards, but have as many cards as you can, as you want. Use one to pay bills, use one to pay mortgage. Like, utilize the bank's money.
Okay.
Of course, it does take time management and you being able to track everything and know that, okay, I used this card already, so I'm not going to use this card. Let me explain to make it a little bit easier. I have my wallet and I I meant to have it on this call, but I don't have it with me. On the left side of my wallet, I have a certain amount of cards. And on the right side, I have a certain amount of cards. From the 1st to the 15th, I only use the cards on the left. From the 16th to the 30th, I only use the cards on the right. And then I revolve. So this is the way I'm recycling my debt. I'm not in too much debt, and I'm able to remember, okay, I'm only using these cards, and when I'm using these cards, I know I'm paying these cards, and when I'm using these cards, I know I'm paying these cards. So that's how. One more thing I need to say, I'm sorry if I'm all over, but you also always need to make sure that your due dates are on the dates that work for you. Just because your bank says you have to pay it on July 24th doesn't necessarily mean you pay on July 24th. You can call them and say, hey, July 24th doesn't necessarily work for me. Can we change the due date to this date? So that way you're not missing, because you know, okay, I get paid every month on the 10th or every 2 weeks around the 12th. You can have your due dates around that date, so you're not missing anything.
Got you.
That's a pretty nice strategy. I like that.
Yeah, I love that. That is really very strategic. Very strategic.
Now, would you recommend that if somebody's trying to operate that way, that they have accountability with all those cards? Because that's a lot to handle. So I just want to, how would you advise somebody like that if they're coming out of a situation and trying to learn disciplines?
I do not want anyone to not benefit from the credit card. So if you don't think you can handle 20 cards, I wouldn't suggest you getting it. Do it gradually. If you think starting out with 5 and managing 5 will benefit you, then do that. But grow those limits on those 5. You can always call the bank every 3 months and ask for a credit limit increase. They'll either deny you or they won't, but you can always call and get that increase.
Okay. Right. And you said the goal is to be below 10% of the total amount that's been approved for you to have on that credit card?
Yes. So if you have a 500 credit limit, you're only using $50. You have 1,000, you're only using 100.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely manageable. I'm thinking about, some other people I know.
Yeah. So see, that's why it appears like, oh my gosh, all those cards. But if I can spend $50 just filling up my gas tank, right? Right. I've hit 10% utilization on one card. I know I'm not using that card anymore.
Gotcha.
Out here, you're going to spend more than $50 in Los Angeles.
Yeah, this gas is like the GPA. Somebody sent us a message. We were like, oh, yeah, these gas prices are looking like GPA.
It was like a 3 point, it's $3.89. And he was saying it looks like, summa cum laude. And it was like, he was like, I need some academic probation gas. Get it down to that 1.2.
All right. We did not really get a chance to ask this. And so, again, for anyone that ended up joining in, this is Chris, and her company is called Finance Reform. And so can you let everybody know what your overall mission is?
Yes.
For Finance Reform and with helping people?
Definitely. My mission for Finance Reform is to help people of color realize the power of credit and the power that comes with having great credit. A lot of us are misinformed, and my mission is to reform your thinking. Everything I've been saying thus far during this call, we have been taught that credit cards are bad. They'll put you in debt. They're not good for you. And my mission is just to reform that thought process.
Okay, mindset. All about mindset.
Mindset.
All right. That also goes with according to purpose. Like, what is your purpose for having particular cards, like you said? And so, like, if you have one particular card that you're going to use for gas versus you have another card that you're doing for groceries, et cetera.
Utilities,
whatever. So that you can reap whatever benefits that come with that card. So before we move from that, is there a particular site where people can go and find out which cards provides what benefits?
I'm sure there is. I do not have that site with me right now, but you should, I would always recommend a financial institution. If it's not American Express, it's a financial institution, preferably credit unions, Navy Federal, PenFed, BBVA, NIHCU. Those are a couple credit unions that I highly recommend.
SAG after a credit union?
Oh, I mean,
I'm being silly. I'm throwing it out.
We're not all actors and actresses over here, but I'm sure you can get into it without being one, right?
Yeah, you can.
There's a backdoor method for every credit union, so we can get into any one of them. Yes. But the reason why I mentioned those were because they come with pretty high credit limits on your cards. They give you really good interest rates. And once you have a relationship with them, they're willing to throw money at you.
What would be, even though I know it can vary, what would be considered to be a good credit
score
limit or?
No, yeah, we're not talking scores.
Yeah, what would be like a good, no, I'm sorry, not score, but you had said earlier with regards to interest rate, what would be a good interest rate for a particular credit card? Like what would be considered not so good?
Well, we definitely don't want anything that's 20%. Nothing in the 20s, period.
Not at all.
We don't want anything that's above 15%. And if we can keep our interest rates in the single digits or even under 10%, we're good.
Okay. All right. So below 10% is the goal.
Yeah.
So if you are recovering, you know, you lost your job, the pandemic has happened, you ended up having to not be able to meet the due dates and so forth, and so the credit is not,
you got dinged a lot,
the best.
Yeah.
Should you then in turn do a secured credit card, and what is a secured credit card?
Before we get into secure credit cards, you guys are relationship. You guys talk about relationships, right?
Yes. Yep.
Talk about communication, right?
Yes.
So I like to tell people that communication doesn't just work for relationships. It works when it comes to your financial being as well. If you're falling on hardships, you need to communicate that with the banks, because the 9 times out of 10, they are willing to work with you. So you just have to communicate. You got to call and you have to say, hey, right now I can't make it this month. Do you mind deferring it? Can you defer it? Can you put that payment back? Can you extend my payment date to this date? Most people, the banks work with you. We don't know this stuff. So we don't know. We just don't call, or we ignore the calls, or we do whatever to avoid it. But avoidance doesn't help you. Communication is key.
That's good stuff right there. That's excellent. Really good stuff. I just wanted to look in the, let me see, or can you, I don't know if it's, no, I lost all of the
that's okay.
Comments. So I don't know if you wanted to see if there are any questions in here.
We got questions that we've already sent to Crystal, and you know, we can keep rolling. We'll address other questions as we go, but this is a good conversation.
All right. So what are some practical things couples can do to navigate finances successfully?
I'm having this conversation not that long ago with one of my clients, and they were so stuck on just doing things with their spouse. And again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. That's what we've been taught, that you married, you do everything together, you know, all your expenses are together. But I'm going to use Falonda and Rodney. If you fall on hard times, Falonda, if you guys don't do things together, if you do it separately, if you fall on hard times, we can utilize Falonda's credit.
Right.
We can now do everything. We can put businesses in her name. We can get credit cards in her name. But if you guys do every single thing together, if you fall on hard times, it's going to fall on her now, because her debt is linked to your debt now. So instead of one of you guys still being able to level up and continue going, both of you are going to now struggle. So I like to tell couples, keep everything separate. It is okay.
Yeah.
Just because you're married doesn't necessarily mean every single thing you guys do have to be together.
I like that, because you said the one thing very important. You talked about communication.
Right.
Both people, both partners are on the same page with that. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Yes. And exactly.
You made me think about when we were younger in our marriage, we ran an agency for a large insurance company. I'm not going to say their name because they ain't getting no endorsement on here. They ain't getting advertisements, but they're not getting no name on here.
Right. But
during that time, I made sure that anything within the agency was on my name.
Yeah.
And like even the house we bought, it's like, Londa, that's under your name. So if something ever happened with the agency, they can't come get the house.
Right. And then see, but you were on the deed, right? You were on the loan. You were on the deed. Or were you on the loan?
Oh, nope, it doesn't. I wasn't on it. Nope.
Okay, good. Well, nope. See, that's what I like to tell people, because they think that, oh, I'm going to get this house with my husband and I'm putting my name on the loan. No, your name doesn't have to be on the loan. On the deed, yes, but not on the loan. Just one of you. Because if I choose to get a house right now under FHA, because they have the best rates, if I do an FHA loan, my husband can also go get a house under FHA because he's not on my loan. And we just got two houses, and now we can flip that other house, and that's now rental property. But if we would have came on the same loan together, we're one and done.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go get those two loans. You can't do investments or anything like that.
Exactly. So that is my one advice that I would give couples. Like, it's okay to have a bank account in the house that y'all are both on that can pay the bills. But everything else financially, keep it separate. I mean, yes, I know all my husband's logins and everything, and I can get to it when I want, but he has his account, and I have mine.
I love that, because even like Londa just bought another car about three weeks ago, and I'm not, my name's not on the phone. I'm not on it.
Yep,